In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At Christmas, remember, the Magi came, and they confessed him with their gifts. Gold as the King of the universe, incense as the God of all creation, and that myrrh as the suffering servant. At his baptism, the theophany words of the Father proclaimed him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Father's pleasure was consummated in the great feast we have been celebrating of the passion, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for us men and for our salvation, so that Satan be defeated and we given eternal life and eternal communion between God and us forever. And now, this third greatest feast. The circle of salvation is completed as the third person of the Holy Trinity is sent forth in the way that Acts describes, like a mighty rushing wind, reversing the disunity of Babel's sin and restoring once again the united chorus of truth through the Holy Orthodox Church's teaching and preaching. Every week, we are privileged to confess the words of the Creed in the third article, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets." Two specific times in which our Lord Jesus Christ, through St. John in his Gospel, describes the work of the Holy Spirit. The first is in the Gospel lesson we heard this morning from John 7. Jesus was at the great Feast of Tabernacles. And John records this in verse 37 of chapter 7. "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and in a loud voice said, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him.' And by this, Jesus meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive." The second time in which our Lord and Savior speaks about the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel is at greater length. It's the entire discourse of John 13 through 17, particularly chapters 13 through 16, on that night in which our Lord was betrayed. And in the upper room, he spoke at great length about the Holy Spirit's work. Let's recall that evening for a moment, and the mood that was there in the upper room. Remember, the disciples gathered around him. It was a somber mood. The Passover he was celebrating with him, but his own exodus is the theme that is about to fulfill that Passover in that upper room, beginning with the great and holy supper. In order for that great work to commence, first he was to be betrayed by his own disciple Judas. He would be denied by his beloved Peter. The others would forsake him. He would be handed over to suffering and death and humiliation. All of these things were to take place, and all of these things he told his disciples, and on that night they were in their mind. He had to reassure them in this tense and uncertain atmosphere in the upper room. In chapter 14, he reassured them, saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." And then he speaks of the great things about to happen. And he says this of the Holy Spirit: "If you love me, you will obey what I command. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." Again, the somber nature of that night in the upper room is something that we remember well, but we look at this story of Holy Week and that night, and we think back, and we know already the ending of the story. We know already the glory of Pascha and of the giving of the Holy Spirit. In retrospect, we can only know joy. We can't often think about these disciples, but yet, we're in their place. We can think about the fear that they had, for we witness it. We can't think about the anxiety and the temptations to despair that they had, because we go through it. Think about what we are going through in the Christian church right now. Things that would lead to the uncertainty. Twice now, in the past couple of months, we've been treated to witnessing the martyrdom of our fellow brothers and sisters. This most latest attack in Egypt, as that busload of pilgrims were taken to a monastery, and they were taken out of the bus, and they were given a command, similar to the very nature of the commands these terrorists have been giving to Christians over and over again. If you leave the way of the cross, we'll spare you. What were they feeling? What was the nature of the atmosphere in that bus of those people taken off? We can only subject ourselves to thoughts and speculations, but their answer was no. Again, just like our fellow Christians in the cathedral in Cairo when it was bombed on Pascha and they retaliated? No. Their bishop gave their witness saying, we thank them for what they did, but we have a chance to show love. What is the answer? It is the answer of the Spirit of comfort, the counselor that was promised. That is what came through. That was the witness given. Maybe in our own country, we think, well, maybe that won't happen here, but it's happening in very subtle ways. There was a story placed up on Facebook this past week of a family over in East Lansing. They are farmers. They're blueberry farmers. And they've been denied access to a farmer's market over in East Lansing because of their views on marriage. They cannot hold to gay marriage, and they've confessed it. They're a very good and pious Catholic family. And so somebody scouting around, one of these little terrorists, if you will, messaged them and asked, would you be willing to host a gay wedding ceremony at your farm? And they answered, no, we can't. And from that, they have been called to be witnesses. Witnesses just like those martyred in Egypt, just like those who have been martyred in Iraq, just like those who have been martyred throughout the Middle East, just like those who are being killed and will be killed, for the times will get greater, my friends. As we go on nearer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, more and more we will be called upon to give a witness. And we're called upon to give a witness every day. Some things are even more subtle, and when Satan is whispering doubts and fears in our minds every day of our lives, is he really with you? As faith wanes in our society here, as we look at the importance of the church going away and more young people turning and forsaking the Lord, we wonder, and Satan whispers in our ear, do you really want to follow this way? This is no successful way to be a Christian. But our Lord knows those fears. He knows those doubts that were in the disciples' hearts on that night of betrayal and that are in our own hearts. And for that, he has given this great feast. This day in which the mighty rushing wind of Pentecost comes and that Holy Spirit is given to all of those who have been baptized into Christ. When we look at what happened after the sending of the Holy Spirit, we see where the real revolution began. The disciples were fearful in that upper room. The disciples were fearful even through Pascha, when it says they were all gathered together in that room for fear of the Jews. Fear again. But then, when the Holy Spirit was given, what happened? Read the book of Acts. This is an excellent season now to read through the books of Acts and see the Acts of the church filled with the Holy Spirit and the courage they had and the strength they had to go forward and to face the Jews, the Pharisees, and to say, no, we follow Christ. Remember Stephen, the great martyr, who we'll celebrate later. He stood forth and he gave witness even though he was stoned. And think about what the Holy Spirit did with that great apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of the church, but turned by the Holy Spirit to Christ, became the great apostle who himself had to give his own life. But only by the witness of the Holy Spirit did he do the great work that he did. And all of the books that Paul wrote and all of the missionary journeys that he did were inspired by the work of this Holy Spirit given to the entire church, to us. Jesus said to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He will testify through you. We must not look at the book of Acts and all the great things that the apostles did and the disciples did and think that was the golden age, or all of the great ecumenical councils that followed and all of the triumphs of the church over heresy. Oh, that was the golden age. It is past. We have the same Holy Spirit. We are given challenges over and over again, but we are given the same Spirit of truth who will clarify the truth, just like he did for all of those Christians who have gone before us. And he will stand with us when we are called to give our own witness, whenever that may be in life, whether that be in just everyday witness to our co-workers or our family, or whether that even be with our own flesh and blood. He will give us courage, he who is the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. So now, my friends, let us think upon those words that we speak continually, and let us take courage in them. O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, who art everywhere and fillest all things, treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and abide in us, and cleanse us from every impurity, and save our souls, O Lord. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.